Have you received an invite to Clubhouse and don't know how to respond? Are you on Clubhouse and you're starting to try to figure out how to work your way around? How should you best use it? Do you even know what Clubhouse is? Well, if you've answered yes or no to any of those, this episode is going to be all about Clubhouse and me doing my best to try to help you navigate your way around in order to help you maximize your social influence on Clubhouse as well in this next episode of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. Welcome to the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast with Neil Schaefer, where I help marketers, entrepreneurs, and business owners grow their businesses using innovative marketing techniques, leveraging the concept of digital influence throughout digital and social media. Hey everybody, Neil Schaefer here. Welcome to another episode of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. I got a few people reaching out to me saying, Neil, you didn't publish an episode last week. And my sincere apologies. From a podcast listener perspective, you just assume that people will always be publishing episodes at the same frequency all the time. But sometimes life gets in the way. I actually, last week, had a business trip. Well, I traveled once to Japan. I don't know if you remember that. That was back in October. I had a domestic business trip for the first time, really since the whole pandemic started. And because my work has pivoted so much since coronavirus with my fractional CMO work, my marketing consulting work, that traveling domestically, it was to speak, but it was to speak at a studio that was taping me for a virtual online event that's going to go live in March. So it was a speaking event, and it was quite a lot of content. I actually was recorded speaking for 3 hours, three different one-hour sessions, sort of like a part one, part two, part three. But it reminded me of how disruptive travel is, going back and forth to the airport and the hotel and the rental car. And obviously, with coronavirus, being very careful as to where you get your meals, who you meet, and just the whole bit. So it reminded me of the fact that a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of consultants and a lot of speakers really undervalue their time, because just the whole getting back and forth, and I was only flying from, you know, Los Angeles to Dallas, Texas, but that's 3 hours each way, right? And if you just take in getting there an hour in advance, the travel time, I mean, that's a day or two of work that's gone, right? So it reminded me that I need to price these things when life gets back to normal and I have more speaking engagements. But always a good reminder, if you're ever wondering how much your time is worth, and if you are an influencer looking for brand collaborations, it's sort of the same thing. How much is a day of your work worth? How much is an hour of your work worth? And I think you'll be able to come to some really quick conclusions as to how you need to be pricing whatever you do, whatever type of service that you provide. If you provide services, that sort of becomes a natural calculation. So that was a really, really good reminder. It did feel good to be on the road again and to be speaking, even though it was only in front of three engineers and a few cameras, but always good to be creating content and hopefully inspiring others through my voice. So today we're going to be talking more about Clubhouse. For those of you that remember, I just recently published an episode. It was just two episodes ago, episode 196, on my initial thoughts on Clubhouse, the newest social media app. If that was the title for that episode, the title for this episode is I'm on Clubhouse, now what? And whenever we have a new social network, it can be very, very confusing, especially if you've like never heard of Clubhouse, or you've sort of heard of it, but you have no idea what it is. Because just in the last week, Clubhouse announced it had 2 million users. That's not a lot, right? I think I saw a post in Mari Smith's newsletter that said they have 5 million users. But the details I have here, as noted in theguardian.com, was on February 1st, Clubhouse announced they had 2 million users. That's not a lot of users. You know, Facebook has 2 billion, Instagram has 1 billion. But obviously, even though it just started in May of well, it actually started in March of 2020, so it hasn't even been a year. In May of 2020, it only had 1,500 users. But already in the past week, we've had Elon Musk appear. And he appeared with Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev. For any of you that are following the whole Reddit, Robinhood, GameStop issue, you can imagine that when you go live on Clubhouse, you are in a room and the maximum number of users that can be in a room is 5,000. And you can imagine how it got to 5,000 people really, really quickly. We've already seen China ban Clubhouse. Not surprising, because you can't really censor real-time audio. And the thing with Clubhouse is nothing remains. It's like radio. Either you're listening to it live or you're not. Although you could listen to it on your speaker and record it for your own personal purposes. Interesting fact is that when I tried to do that, I actually got a warning saying, hey, make sure you own the copyright. It actually did not allow me to record using the screen recorder on Clubhouse. But obviously, you can use your speakerphone and record if you wanted to. I think there were some people that actually recorded Elon Musk and posted it on YouTube or somewhere, and they were clearly in violation of copyright because they didn't have their permission to do it. But anyway, and on top of that, we've seen shares of an audio technology company called Agora, not related to Agora Pulse, but investors believing that Agora might be powering Clubhouse's live stream audio. And then a company named Clubhouse Media Group, which isn't even connected to Clubhouse, but it has a similar name. These two shares soared. Agora soared more than 44% on Monday when this article was written, and Clubhouse Media soared more than 116%. So clearly, this whole Clubhouse phenomenon is sort of taking over. And a lot of people that I know in marketing, a lot of entrepreneurs are talking about it as well. And Clubhouse is slowly giving more and more people invites to allow their friends in. As you can download the Clubhouse app, it's currently only available for iPhone, so they're missing out on a lot of the market there. Obviously, they have a long-term plan to bring this out of beta, but for the time being, you need to have an iPhone app. And while you can download the app, you need to have an invite in order to get in. And the invite system works when you invite someone. First of all, you have to have an invite. And when you join Clubhouse, you're given a few invites. And every week or two, I seem to get a few more invites. And the more active you are, the more invites you get. But basically, you need to invite someone through their phone number. And it really works by registering people in your contact database. And if you have people in your contact database in your iPhone, it'll sync it with Clubhouse. Obviously, it asks for your permission. And it'll tell you, of the people, how many friends do they have that are already in Clubhouse? So you get a real good feel as to how connected the people in your contact database are with people that are already on Clubhouse. It's sort of come as a surprise to me to see, you know, people that aren't even really active in social media have dozens of friends that are already on this, up until now, very exclusive social media application. So as I mentioned two episodes ago, I received an invite, did nothing with it, and after I got my third invite to join, I finally did. And I think it's really been the last 2 weeks where, when Elon Musk came on and China banned it, I've also seen a huge boom in Japan where I shouldn't say like the most famous celebrities, but like B-tier celebrities are getting on for their own personal branding and to yield their own influence. You have a lot of new media influencers, like YouTubers, are getting on Clubhouse as well. And for those of you that have gotten on, I see lots of rooms about Clubhouse for beginners, like any other social network, right? When you just got an Instagram, didn't know how to use it. Google Plus was another one. Everyone was talking about what the hell do we do, right? I remember my friend Pam Moore, who some of you may know, Pam Marketing Nut. I'll never forget, like the second day after Google Plus was announced, she literally wrote a blog post saying, I got on Google Plus, I followed all my friends, I created all my circles, now what? And it's sort of a similar thing. Now, Clubhouse obviously is different than Google Plus, is very similar to a Facebook or a LinkedIn, but Clubhouse is very different because it's audio only, right? It really is, and it's real time. So it really is the first of its kind, and it's really hard to compare to other networks. But if you're on Clubhouse and you really want to find the best way to make use of it, this episode is for you. And even if you're not on Clubhouse, you still want to know what it's about, I'm going to go into a little bit more details on the app that I think you should know of. So like any other app, it is social media. There is a profile that you create, and then there is user-generated content, which are these live audio channels, just like the radio station or online chats in the old rooms of America Online, for those that remember that. So first of all, obviously, you have to get an invite. But once you get an invite, you then will be led through a few screens. One of those screens is they want you to follow anyone and everyone. And just like when you join Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, they're going to be working off, obviously, your contacts. They're going to try to find people similar to you. They're also going to introduce to you very, very popular people on the network, people that have a lot of followers. And what happens is when you create your profile, you have the ability to integrate your Twitter and your Instagram. This is also going to affect the follower recommendations that you find. You also have a chance to input your interests. And this will probably also affect those people that they recommend you follow. But for now, I really want you to remember the first time you logged on to Twitter, and you probably end up following like CNN and ESPN, and immediately your feed was just like flooded with tweets. So you do not want to make the same mistake. You actually want to be very selective, because who you follow really defines a lot of your Clubhouse experience. The reason is that Clubhouse really brings you in through notifications. So when you log on, you're going to see if any of your followers have rooms, but also people that you follow, they can ping you into rooms at any time. So you might start getting more or less notifications, and you're going to see more or less rooms depending on who you follow. So just follow this very, very simple rule of thumb. Obviously, when you get on, only follow those. I mean, feel free to go through the recommendations. Obviously, the people at the top are like the founders and co-founders of Clubhouse, who already have like millions of followers, right? I recommend you only follow those people that you actually recognize. And to make it even clearer, I recommend that you only follow those that you want to be influenced by or learn from. You can always follow other people. I recommend you actually keep it to a small number. Also, obviously, if your friends are on, you'll probably want to follow them as well. And here's the thing. There is this notion of a follower-following ratio. And just like my advice for Twitter, and I wrote this blog post many, many moons ago, probably over a decade ago, it does become part of your personal branding. So when someone that doesn't know you that well sees that you're following 1,000 people but only have 5 followers, that does not look good on your branding on Clubhouse, nor does it look that good on any network. So I recommend that you really start small, and just like Twitter, as you get more followers, you begin to follow more people. I did this. I started out obviously following like 100 people with 0 followers. Now I have maybe, well, actually, let me give you an accurate number, but this is what's possible over time. As I log into Clubhouse now, I have 362 followers and I'm following 273 people. So I recommend that you start small. And here's the thing, like any other network, the earlier you get on and the more active you are, the more followers you will organically get over time. You got to trust me on this. I've already seen this happen. And like I said, I've only been on 2 or 3 weeks and already at that ratio that for me is sort of the ratio that I want to be at from a personal branding perspective. So keep your followers small. And remember, follow those that you either know or that you want to learn from. Now, another aspect of Clubhouse is the interests. So you do have the ability to enter things you're interested in. I highly recommend you do that. And it doesn't even have to be for business. You know, I love Japan and Japanese language. So I, you know, put Japan, Japanese, Japan travel as sort of an interest as well. So if those apply, they can help you find another utilitarian purpose for the network, finding like-minded people to network with, right? So what happens is, you know, based on your followers and interests, obviously it's going to change the people that get recommended to you. It also is going to show you different things that you may be interested in, different rooms you might be interested in that appear on your home screen. And it's also going to recommend different clubs to you. Clubs are like groups, right? So, but with clubs, you can have various moderators. And if you're a moderator of a group, of a club, you can create your own room inside the club. So if you really want to go viral with something, creating your own club is probably the best way to do it. But right now it's apply only. You got to fill out a Google form. I was told it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get approval. I actually, because I'm doing these weekly broadcasts, Mondays, 9 a.m. Pacific, I'm doing a weekly room on Clubhouse. I hope you'll join me there. And I have yet to get approval. So we'll see how long it takes. But once again, I'm going through the infrastructure things here, just understanding what a club is. And the idea is that when you join a club, it now becomes part of your brand because it features at the bottom of your profile the fact that you're in one of these clubs. And a club, once you're a member, it's like you're following someone. Whenever they announce something, you're going to see it. Whenever they start a room, you're going to get pinged and what have you. So really, really choose carefully. But like with anything else, you'll probably want to start following people and clubs based on your professional objective. So if you're in, you know, let's say you're selling courses on Facebook ads. Well, you can actually do a search for Facebook ads and you'll find people and clubs that are probably all about them. In fact, I'm going to go in here. Once you get on Clubhouse and you're on the main screen, it's actually very, very easy UI. You have 5 different icons at the top. At the top left, you have a little search icon. And this is going to bring you back to the people to follow, as well as the interests, find conversations about these different topics. But I'm just going to, while I talk to you here, type in Facebook ads, and immediately it recommends a bunch of people. So the first person it recommends is Rick Franks. Now, Rick is someone that actually in his profile has the term Facebook ads. And I'm going to talk about profile in a sec, but that's how you can look for people. And that's also how you get found for different things. And when I go to clubs, I see the Brown Girl Skincare Collective. So I don't know why this came up for Facebook ads, but it did. And maybe part of what they teach is how to use Facebook ads. You know, we have the virtual influencer creators, and this actually, interestingly enough, it's in English and Japanese and Chinese and Russian, but the main profile is in English, and it has a bunch of related topics that we cover. Clearly, this is for SEO. They've put in a lot of different keywords so that you're found. We have momvertising, and once again, in their keywords, they have Facebook ads as well. So you begin to understand how you, just like when you create a Facebook community or a group or a LinkedIn group, you want to make sure you have those keywords somewhere in your profile. So this gets us to, now that we have the follow part out of the way, this gets us to our profile. Our profile is on the far right-hand side, and it's really, really easy. All we need to do is really click on our profile, and it allows us to update our bio. You'll notice as you go through other bios on Clubhouse that most profiles are done with an emoji and then a sentence or two and then an open line space and then another sentence that begins with an emoji. It's really easy to look at it this way. Obviously, the first, you know, few lines are what comes out when people are looking at profiles. They don't get to see the entire profile. They see the first few lines, and then they need to click through to see the rest. So those are going to be really, really important. But you'll want to make sure that everything you want people to find out about you and all those keywords that you want to be found for obviously are in your profile. It's really a no-brainer. But once you log on, you'll want to spend a little time because that's really going to help people find you, as well as it's really going to help for your organic growth. So far, we found people to follow, maybe we found some clubs to follow, and we have our profile ready. The next thing I want you to do, okay, we're really taking this step by step, is to go into your settings. Now, if you click on, once again, in the main screen, we have 5 icons from left to right. The far left was the search. Already went over that one. The far right is your profile, which should have your photo, which you should have uploaded. So this is where you can make sure you have Twitter and Instagram integrated in your profile. Once again, you'll definitely want to do it. It'll help people that follow you on Twitter and Instagram find you as well. But once you get to your profile, you'll notice in the top right-hand corner is the settings button. And once you click that, here's where it gets to be very, very interesting. There's not much you can do here, but this is where you connect your Twitter and Instagram, which, like I said, is a must. But here is also where you choose frequency. So Clubhouse goes viral from notifications. When people schedule a room, which is this, you know, radio broadcast, basically. When they schedule a room, if you're a follower, you get pinged. When they launch the room, you get pinged. They have the ability to ping you to their room manually. So you might get pinged three different times in your notifications for one single event. So you have the frequency. And I believe the normal is how it starts. And it's good to start at normal, but if you feel like you're just getting way too many pings, you'll want to notch that down to infrequent, or I'm currently at very infrequent. But on the other hand, if you have a lot of time on your hands and you want to really grow quickly, start with frequent or very frequent so that you're active and you begin to see a lot of what it's about. We also have the include trending rooms. This is how I saw the spillover from Elon Musk that actually went into, I think there were two or three other rooms of 5,000 that got filled up as well. But if you include trending rooms, well, you're going to get introduced on your screen and potentially through notifications to rooms that have a lot of people. Once again, I recommend you include trending rooms just for the fact that it allows you to understand what's going on with Clubhouse, what sort of conversations are happening, what trends, right? It's really, really good intel to have. You have a pause notification switch. Obviously, if you've had enough, just pause them, but I haven't needed to do that yet. And then you have your interests. This is where you can always edit them. And then you have a bunch of FAQ, what's new, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really, really simplistic. But the frequency and the include trending rooms and the interests, and obviously integrating Twitter and Instagram, are the key things that you want to make sure you have right there. Well, the rest of the user interface is pretty easy. So once again, going through the five icons, the top left, to repeat again, we have the search. On the next one is a little envelope. This is where your invites are. And really choose wisely who you invite. Invite people that are your fans, your friends, people that you think will become very active. One of the cool things about Clubhouse is it actually shows you on your profile who invited you. So if there are any influencers that aren't on the platform yet that well enough to send them an invite, go for it, because it's going to say that you are the person that invited them. So I would tend to want to invite more influential people than less influential people, and people that would really appreciate it. I have a policy now, for those of you wondering. I am currently inviting people from my email list. So I send out a weekly newsletter, and I just gave away two of my three invites this week to two people that wanted them. And I'll continue doing this on a weekly basis as long as I have invites now and in the future. So if you want an invite, make sure that you go to my website, neilschafer.com. You sign up on any one of those widgets and you'll be subscribed to the weekly newsletter, and you too may have a chance to get an invite from me. Going now further on in the UI, we have the upcoming for you. So it's a little calendar icon. And the calendar icon, this is where it gets really interesting. So the clubs that you follow and the people that you follow, if they have scheduled rooms, you can actually see these in a calendar, and you can actually click a little notification bell so that you'll get notified when the conversation begins, just in case your notifications, the frequency doesn't allow you to get notified. So that's a really, really cool feature. This is where you also can schedule your own event. So there's a little icon in the top right of the screen, which has a little calendar and a plus button. And you'll just want to make sure that the event name and the description are really, really clear as to what it's about. And once again, if you look at the upcoming for you, you'll get a feel for the titles and the descriptions that people are using, because you need to advertise your room. We're now getting to a point of saturation. There's just not enough time to go to all these rooms. So there's a lot of competition for mindshare. So if you want to get more people to listen to you, you'll want to remember to do that. Now, I'm sort of skipping ahead there. And then we have activity. So you have that little bell. That is your notifications. So when you see your followers, when they schedule an event, when they start a new room, when they follow you. this is where all the action is going to be. And that's really where you'll want to pay attention to as well. And then you have the main dashboard, where at any time, if you're looking for something to join, you just go in there and you should see a lot of activity. And if you don't, you'll want to go to the very bottom where there's a little explore button. And if you press the explore button, you will now see more and more rooms that are live right now that you can join. So there's other really cool features, and I know this is a lot to go through, but some of the other cool features are, if you're on the main screen and you find a spammy room that you don't want to be invited to, for whatever reason it appears there, you can do a swipe right and actually hide that room. And I believe that room gets hidden forever as well. So it's a great way to sort of sort out all the rooms once you see too many of them. And if you scroll to the right, you'll actually see clubs that are active right now that you follow, as well as people that you follow that are active right now that you can actually add them to a room and ping them. You can do a private room, right? And one of the cool things that I like to do is I'll just go on, and on once again, on the bottom of your screen, I mentioned that you can do a left swipe. You're literally going to the right hand of that main menu where you see all the active users. You can also do that by clicking on the very bottom of the screen. There's a little green button surrounded by black dots. That'll lead you to the same place. But there's also a start a room button. And this is where the magic begins. You can just start your own room. When you start a room, your followers are pinged that you started a room. And you never know, especially if you can add a topic. And when you add a topic, that's obviously what people will see when they see that you've started a room. I've seen people start very random rooms. That's how I got started. I would just start a room. And I think if you have 100 followers, you're bound to get a few people that might actually join your room, especially if they haven't talked to you in a while. So I found Clubhouse is a great way to get back in touch with old friends that we haven't talked to, especially because of coronavirus. So that's one experiment you could do, is start your room. Say, hey, first time on Clubhouse, let's get caught up. And then you can ping people to your room from your followers. And what happens is, if one of your followers joins, it's possible that people that follow them will see that they started to enter a room. And you might even get a notification, depending on the notification settings, or I should say their followers might get a notification that they joined a room. And then people that follow them, if they go to their main screen, will see your room because one of the people they follow is in it. And this is the viral nature of Clubhouse. Just the more active you are, the more followers, the more people that join your rooms, the more that this just gets spread, and the more people that will listen to you, right? And it's one of those things, just like the more frequently you're tweeting, the more you're going to be found, especially in the early days. Right now, there's no algorithm. You could literally be on 24/7. And I've seen some rooms in Japan. I haven't seen any Americans do this. But here's the thing. When you start a room, very few people join. But over time, as the notifications go out and people log on, you have a greater chance of people joining. So I do 1 hour rooms, and at the end of it, I always feel bad because it felt like it just got going, right? As more and more people join over time. So I've seen 24/7 rooms. And the idea is that when you're done, it's like, hey, I got to log off. Who wants to be moderator? And you do a baton touch or a baton pass, and then that person becomes the moderator. So I've seen some crazy rooms. Japan has really been interesting, but like, hey, let's all follow each other. So they start a room. It's like, hey, follow everybody in the room. And it stays on. And these have gone on for days, literally, because there are enough people. They go on and they mute themselves. And I've seen, once again in Japan, I've seen influencers join rooms. And the whole idea is that you have a chance to talk to the influencer, but they're muted. They're not even active. But you can use their name and saying they're going to be your guest. And I don't even know if these influencers are maybe they got paid to be on, but I don't hear them talk, right? It's always the other moderators and the other people in the room that are talking. So there's a lot of different ways, as you can imagine, in which you can, and I just logged on to Clubhouse while I was talking to you. Sorry about that. In which you can use it. And I've seen really random conversations. So really, now that the basics, and there's a lot more than this, but these are the basics of who to follow, the profile, you know, what rooms you may want to join. And I would start by you can start your own room, but joining other rooms is going to be the quickest way to learn. And you begin to learn the etiquette and you begin to see, well, should I raise my hand or not? Should I be in listen only mode? And you might want to start, you can start with some big rooms. I like to start with small rooms, especially if I know some of the people. And some of them may say, hey, Neil, they may invite you on stage and you'll see a notification on your screen. Or like I said, you can raise your hand. And you know, one of the things that's happened since I recorded that episode 2 weeks ago is I've talked to a lot of people that have actually found business in Clubhouse. And I bring this up last because I don't want you to think this is another social network that I'm going to try to monetize and get lots of followers and try to do a lot of business, because really a lot of people have had very, very negative experiences in Clubhouse and have felt it was very spammy. So we're always in the give first mode. And when we give information, naturally, it's going to attract customers. And what everybody I talked to said that have been successful, number one, they started their own club. And they start a club around a subject that attracts a lot of people. So therefore, people that don't know you, they may not follow you, but they may follow the club. And that's given them exposure above and beyond your own following. LinkedIn groups at the very beginning were very powerful. They're maybe not as powerful now, but clearly in Clubhouse, if you can start your own group, or as they say, club, and Clubhouse is being very selective, hopefully I'll get mine approved. Like I said, I was told it takes 2 to 3 weeks, but they also want to see that you're active. So that's why I recommend you start a few rooms just to get that experience under your belt and to send Clubhouse a message that you're there for the long term. But people have started their own clubs, but more importantly for you just starting out or trying to figure it out, they have proactively engaged in rooms. They've raised their hand. They've gone up on stage. They've given advice. And if you have something to say because you're an expert in something or you want to yield influence in a certain subject, you owe it to yourself to do the same thing. Now, that's where if you go to a room that's way too big, you may not get the opportunity. And there's something to be said for being in listen-only mode for the first few times. But I highly recommend once you get your confidence to raise your hand and be as active as possible. And maybe you work this into your routine. I think like any other social network at the beginning, there's zero automation that you can do here. So it's about dedicating a little bit of a time, maybe on a daily or weekly basis, 5 or 10 minutes a day, just to tune in, try to listen to an interesting conversation. If you listen to podcasts, don't stop subscribing to this podcast. But obviously, if you're used to learning from an audio perspective, then I believe that Clubhouse is going to eat away at your podcast listening time. And podcast is great and Clubhouse is great. They both serve two different audiences. But when you get into a daily habit of joining Clubhouse and participating and being seen, this is where you get more people to follow you. This is where you begin to have a voice. And if you say really compelling things, there might be other clubs that say, hey, we'd love if you moderate one of our rooms next week. And here's the thing, because you can't automate it, there's a lot of guest moderating going on, just like you have guest blogging. Or there are people that invite you to be on a show. So a club might have a 1-hour interview with a few experts, and they may want you to be one of those experts. So that's where the magic begins to happen, right? Proactive, start your own rooms just to get that under your belt. Listen to a few rooms, get up on stage, and at some point, if you can, once you know what you want to talk about on Clubhouse, start your own club around that topic. And after that, it's the magic. And there's no guaranteed success for anybody here, but it's still relatively new. There's a lot of people that are spending a lot of time on it. And if you can plant your flag now for being known for a certain thing, I think it's going to be a great complement to everything else that you're doing. It's very, very different. You're not going to be able to, you know, get any website traffic, although I've heard of a lot of people that get more Instagram direct messages, because that's the only way they can connect with you is by looking at your Instagram and Twitter profile that's connected to your bio on Clubhouse. And a lot of people are choosing Instagram. A lot of other people, and I've seen a lot of LinkedIn conversations, are looking people up. They find them on Twitter and Instagram. They'll look them up on LinkedIn and they'll connect with them there. So Clubhouse may not be where you actually generate your business, because at the end of the day, you need to carry that relationship forward. And that's often going to be done on a website or like a LinkedIn or Instagram. But it's certainly a great place to network, to meet new people, to learn. And I do believe you know, at the end of doing that, once you have a little bit of experience under your belt, that you too can learn to influence others and to actually generate business by sharing your expertise in relevant conversations. And in that way, I suppose it's very, very similar to people that develop a lot of business on Facebook groups, or a lot of people that used to do it, including myself, on LinkedIn groups. It's all about being there as part of the conversation. The only challenge is it's live. It can be a time suck. So pick your battles very, very carefully. Once again, I'm going to be doing this weekly. I don't plan to record every podcast about Clubhouse. This is going to be my last one for some time, I'm thinking right now. But I wanted to get that out there so that you begin to use Clubhouse the best way that I think possible right now, based on the limited information that I know and my limited experience. And I do hope you'll join me Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific. And I hope that it begins to become a club called the Maximize Your Social Influence Club. But that's really where I want to get to know you better and to be able to answer any questions you have about maximizing your social influence. All right, everybody. Wow. This turned out to be a long episode. Who knew that I could talk for that long about something that looks so simple like Clubhouse does, but I really wanted to go through some of those technical details so that you have a really, really good understanding. And without a doubt, you're sort of going to know how to navigate and really find value on the network. As always, I want to thank you for listening in, for subscribing, and for all the awesome reviews that you've all been leaving this podcast. I know that I continue to get more reviews. I'm really appreciative. I keep seeing this podcast show up in the top rankings. Really psyched when I see it in the United States, Great Britain, Australia. But also, I know those of you in Ireland and Sweden, New Zealand, Italy, South Africa, Finland, India, United Arab Emirates, and Uruguay, I want to thank you as well for making this a top marketing, and in some cases, a top business podcast in your country. It's really what keeps me going. And please make sure you do hit that subscribe button. I have a lot of great interviews coming up in the not-so-distant future. Just to give you a preview, we have some authors that are coming out with new books. My friend Jason Falls is coming out with a book on influencers. You'll want to be the first to hear about that in this podcast. We have Christoph Trapp, who is also coming out on a new book about, I believe it's about live streaming podcasts. So he's a great storyteller and content marketer. We have Kate Scavish, the CMO of Wave.video. She's going to talk about video. With Pam Didner, who is the author of, I believe it's called Global B2B Marketing or Global Content Marketing. She is a global B2B marketing expert, as well as others. So, hey, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of great interviews lined up over the next several weeks. As always, thank you for listening to the very end. And hey, I look forward to seeing you or listening to you or conversing with you on Clubhouse. Until then, everybody, make it a great virtual social day. Bye-bye and sayonara.